Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dreamers, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And it's time for another Footy Prime birthday shout out. Today we're saying happy 6th birthday to Kareem. Kareem loves to sit by the water and play his guitar. Also, happy 9th birthday to Chloe. Chloe one day wants to be an astronaut and fly around the world. And happy 5th birthday to Jimmy B. Jimmy, when he grows up, wants to be a fire truck. What a special little guy. Let's get this birthday party started.
Jimmy, it's your birthday, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I didn't know you wanted to be a fire truck.
No. Yeah.
He's good.
How he found that out.
How's it been so far, Jimmy? Have you have any celebrations begun? Breakfast? I don't know. What do you do in the Brennan household?
Yeah, I woke up to an empty house, so.
Oh, perfect, actually. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
It's a great day.
Yeah, it's a good start.
I did the same thing. I woke up at 5:30, saw last night's text from Jimmy saying, hey, can we make a 12:15 meeting? And I said, yes. And then I said, I need some more sleep. And so I watched Beverly Hills Cop, the old Eddie Murphy movie on Netflix put me to sleep. Yeah. And then if you hear some shooting, I forgot the TV upstairs. But
did you hear this?
Eddie, there's some bangers music-wise.
Axel F.
The heat is on. Yeah, that was Harold Faltermeyer. I remember that.
Harold Faltermeyer, that's right. I love that song.
So I have to tell you, there's the Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters. I'm just singing and doing the Neutron Dance. Yeah, there's some real bangers in that movie. I have to say, congrats, Eddie Murphy, on your illustrious career.
Ups and downs.
That's right.
Peaks and valleys.
It's his birthday, like, too. We forgot that. We forgot to say it's Eddie Murphy's birthday.
Like Wonderland.
Sounds like a roller coaster. Up and down.
Jimmy, at what point did you think that you wanted to be a professional footballer in your life? How old were you?
I was young. I was very young. I used to have pictures on my wall of like Ryan Giggs and certain players. I used to get these soccer magazines that you could
Craig Forrest.
I might have had a picture of Craig Forrest.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was just for one of our nights out.
That was a night out. I was like, I'm going to party with that guy.
Yes. The party always finds Craig Forrest.
Yeah. No, but I was very young. I just had an ambition that I wanted to be a footballer, and I wanted to go play in Europe. And I remember we used to watch Soccer Saturday with Graham Leggett. And it was always a week behind, wasn't it? All the results.
Tape delay, right? Taped.
But it was awesome, man. I really, really loved watching that show on a Saturday. And then that's when I knew I wanted to be a footballer.
Yeah, times have changed. I remember that. They would show a game a week old. And then at halftime, they would show the up-to-date halftime scores.
That's right.
What was happening that day.
Yeah.
And then back to the second half of last week's game. It's like crazy how things have changed. You can access everything now.
Yep. Yeah. Every league, anytime you want. Absolutely.
Pretty much.
Legally or illegally.
But Jimmy, yeah. if you were following the Prem back then, would you have to get like a Sunday newspaper? Whether it was the Sun, to get the updated scores and results?
Yeah, it was in the newspapers then. So it'd be
I didn't know if it was covered then. Okay.
No, the Sun or the Star, they would have the tables.
Yeah, just for our younger audience, used to be that you get newspapers, this news written on paper delivered to your door.
Yeah.
And then you get all inky fingers. You can smell your fingers now, can't you guys? Yeah. The first thing you do is with these newspapers was you'd open up the back pages and go through the entire sports section.
Yeah.
Right. And then they never read the actual news or the political editorials. It's all about the sports. Yeah. I love that.
And then after you read it, my grandmother used to make a cone out of it, and then she used to put fries in it. So I used to have my fries out of the newspaper.
Oh, really? Did she really? Yeah. Like the old, like the legitimate old school chippy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those. And
I'd always have the page 3 girl on the back of my fries.
Sticking your chips in the anyway. Yeah.
Dipping it in deep.
We should mention it's Footy Prime to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jimmy Brennan's birthday. It's Craig Forrest's his birthday too, surprisingly. Dan Wong celebrates today as well. That's right. So does Jeff Cole. He celebrates later today. And Amy Dubs Walsh is not here today because she's too busy celebrating her birthday. Turning the big 5-0. Right, Dubs?
Oh, the ginger ninja.
She won't appreciate that, will she?
Walshy.
Anyway, so it's Footy Prime. We had a guest scheduled, couldn't make it last minute. That's okay. We'll get him back on very, very soon. So we're not talking about Ipswich today. Okay, Craig?
I know. I'm so disappointed.
It's all right. It happens. We're pivoting.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's plenty to talk about. Canadian Championship is well into its next phase with Forge tying Montreal yesterday in the first leg. Forge have played MLS teams 3 times at home now, and they've never lost over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
They're close, aren't they? Forge is the one team that's close to... I mean, you tell me, actually, Jimmy, MLS, we understand it's a much higher league than CPL. We get that. But how close is Forge to those mid-pack MLS teams, do you think?
I think there's still a ways off. You can't take anything away from Forge. I think they've got the best squad in the league. Every year they perform. They've showed well in the Champions League, and they've showed well in obviously their own domestic league, winning it the last number of years. But it's always a difficult one to compare, because you got to remember these games against these MLS teams, they're like cup finals, aren't they? You know, the players get excited for it. They're all up for it, the energy. But, you know, you'd have to ask, would they be able to compete at the MLS level week in and week out? And that would probably be the difference. And it'd be interesting to see if some of them could actually handle it. But, you know, there is some fantastic players, and they've got a lot of young players, I think, have bright futures that can make that step up to MLS. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a gap, of course, and there's something usually missing at that level if you're at CPL level that holds you back, or is the reason why people see something you're lacking, whether it's physical, technical, tactical, something like that, that is your something lacking that has kept you back from making that next step. But it doesn't mean you're necessarily far off or you can't compete on the day. But the consistency, like what Jimmy's saying, is really one thing that would be part of why somebody wouldn't make it.
How's the fitness difference at this level between CPL and MLS? These are fully professionals. They're training every day. Is there still a fitness difference, or is that pretty close?
Well, I think that it's the same thing as what I'm talking about. Some of these guys can, they're fit as they can get, but is that a level where they can run like a Paul Stalteri for, you know, 120 minutes? No. Well, okay. Well, Paul Stalteri might be able to not do things they can do as well, but with that engine and these different things like that would be the difference. Can they do that? Because can they sustain it, you know, week in, week out, like Jimmy says? That's generally the problem.
You know, part of it is too, Sharms, is it's the thought process, right? How you see the game, how you read the game, and every single level, the thought process is quicker and faster, and your speed of play is a lot faster than what it is at the lower level. So when you're talking Premier League or Major League Soccer and CPL, there's a difference at every single level. And the guys at the top level see the game different. They see the game, you know, four passes before they receive it. They know how everything's going. They'll see a small window and they'll play it because they know they've got to get off their foot. Whereas when you get down to the lower level, it's a little bit slower as well, where, you know, they might read the game two passes ahead. And then when they receive it, they turn, they look, and then they play the ball. Where at the top level, you don't have that time. It's constantly thinking, and everything's faster. A lot faster. The players are faster. The speed of play is faster. That's the big difference.
Yeah, and when you look at a team, like we're going to talk about Ipswich Town, bringing them back into the conversation, a team that played the game really, really well, and what we say would properly play the ball out of the back, their possession basically, they do everything really, really sharply. But when they get to the Premier League, that's another world altogether. We look at the Premier League teams that are going to get relegated this year. I think they are the three teams that were promoted last year. So that gap and how well they can play in the championship or the first division, you go into the Premier League, now you got to do everything just slightly, well, considerably faster.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Can they do that under incredible amounts of pressure? Because you can imagine Man City pressing in Ipswich Town at a level they've never seen before. So they're going to have to make that step and be better. And that's what Kieran Richardson or Kieran McKenna, the manager, will have to get put into their heads. And we're going to see whether they can make that step.
Yeah. The other thing is too, and Craig, you know this, you know, if I'm in a CPL and I'm rapid and my speed is getting me out of a lot of situations and I'm quicker than everybody else. But when you start getting to that next level, now I'm playing against a guy who's just as fast as me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I have to outthink this guy. And he's probably just as smart as me. So now the two of us, it's a chess match where you're constantly thinking, how do I get my space? How can I get into these areas? How do I get in behind? You know, it's completely different.
Craig, and some can't, but like a Jozy Altidore who had opportunities in the Premier League could never play at that level. He just could not because of all those reasons Jimmy just talked about. But come to MLS, everybody's a little bit slower. He's a little bit faster in his thought process, and he could manage in that particular level of
the league. He's a tweener, right? A tweener, kind of in between. He's not quite that level, but he can dominate at that level just below.
Yeah.
It's a lot of those guys. Remember, who was it? Steve Bull? Was it Steve Bull at Wolves?
Wolves.
Yeah. Just dominated back in those days, Division One, the league championship, essentially. And then when he had those cups of teas in the Prem, he never was able to really reach those heights.
Yeah, not quite. Steve Bull, I mean, he played in every division for Wolves.
Yeah.
And so, he was pretty much, with the team that he was playing with, very difficult at that time as well. The Wolves team wasn't that great, so he wasn't getting a ton of opportunities. But he did have a cup of coffee with the England national team as well.
Yeah, maybe a couple of caps. That's interesting. Let me look up. Who was it? Chris Wilder. I remember the Blades manager. Yeah. He said just recently, he said that when explaining the relegation, he said, listen, that the Premier League was just too powerful for us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Young team, not enough leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because I guess, Jimmy, at that point, when you're a team at the Blades or whoever it is playing against this, you know, regular basis, better competition, you need to have a great leadership group, like some veterans in there who can guide you through the dips, as opposed to a young team that has to kind of learn on the go.
Yeah, it is difficult. But and we got to keep in mind, too, with the Premier League, they're getting the best players around the world. best players mm-hmm. around the world. And that's why every team is so good. The way that they play is because, you know, they spend money and go get the top players. And it's difficult too, because, you know, if teams are coming out of the championship, well, they haven't gone out and spent and got some of the best players that they can get because they can't afford it. And now they get to the Premier League and then they've got a decision to make as well. Like, how much money are we going to spend on players? And what if we get relegated? And how do we do this? Are we going to bankrupt ourselves? So, you know, it's a difficult situation for a lot of those teams that end up coming up. And Ipswich is going to go through it as well next year. You know, they've got a great squad. They play fantastic football. But where are they going to be in the Premier League? Probably near the bottom. And then they'll be thinking, okay, well, how much money are we going to spend?
Yeah. 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 Well, that's exactly right. When we look at Luton Town, they didn't spend much money. And they're probably thinking, well, let's hold tight. Let's see if we can somehow miraculously finish 17th. And we'll take that. But if we don't, we're going to be financially in a pretty good position. We actually talked about this, Wonger, with Paul Pescasolito yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Wife being a chairwoman of West Ham United, that they have these decisions, and Norwich have done it several times, you know, bouncing back up and down from the Premier League, but not spending an awful lot, but trying to get themselves in a position where they one day can sustain some Premier League status over a lengthy period of time. But it's a difficult world for those clubs. There's like 24, 25 clubs that are living in that type of world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing is too, sorry, with, you know, we were talking about the CPL and jump, but, you know, for me, when I watch the CPL games now compared to the first year, it's improved so much. The football's gotten a lot better. You know, their salary cap has gone up a little bit more as well, so they can get a few, you know, some more better players. And the more that salary cap keeps going up and jumping, the more players, better players you're going to attract, and the league is going to get better as well at the same time. Right? But it's all about that.
That year one of CPL, you're at York, how was it to recruit players, to find players of quality?
Well, it was very difficult, right? You had eight teams and you're all trying to fight to get the same players, but then you're getting a lot of young players, local players that have never been in a professional environment before. And, you know, they had struggled at times, you know, with the rigors of a professional season of training. Now, all of a sudden, they're training every day. Now they're traveling. You know, there's a lot at stake now on match day where, you know, they're playing local football, and not a big deal if you lose or you win, who cares? But now it means something. And it was difficult too, because you had a lot of older players that some of them have been at a good level, and their role is to help educate these young guys and teach them what it means to be a professional footballer and how to handle being a professional footballer. So it was quite difficult. It really was. But I think now when you look at it, there's a lot more guys got 5 years of professional football under their belt, starting to be a little bit more mature within the league, and they're helping the younger guys. And the standard has improved an awful lot at that at the CPL level, for sure.
Did you find, Jimmy, that a lot of the players, because, I mean, you know, the salary cap and the money that they would play in the CPL only if they were going to sign for a team that was in their local area?
I mean, with York, I just wanted to get as many local players as I could. And that's where we had Emilio Estevez, we had Isaiah Johnson, Lowell Wright, Max Ferrari. We took a lot of young players in this area to give them that opportunity, because they would have never got it anywhere else.
Sorry, Jimmy, did you say Emilio Estevez? There's a guy named Emilio Estevez from the Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Young Guns, thank you very much.
Young Guns,
that
okay.
That was the name.
Mighty Ducks.
But then what we did was we also, you know, we rented a house that had like five bedrooms, and then a couple of guys. We had, Cedric Toussaint. We had Abzi's, and Abzi ended up coming from Quebec as well, and they stayed in the house, right? So we just had a couple of guys from outside, and the majority were all from the GTA, because it is a bit of it's a hotbed here as well, so it was easier for us. I think a lot of teams, maybe like a Winnipeg, probably struggled at times to get players because they don't have the player pool, and so for them to attract guys from Toronto or BC or Quebec to come to Valor, it was quite difficult for them at times.
When I see a guy like Joel Waterman, who you don't hear those stories, and then you do hear them. And when you hear them, you're happy about them. And that is, hey, played CIS, went and played for Calgary, and then moved into playing professionally with CF Montreal and plays on the national team. when you have that kind of narrative that these are these stepping stones within Canada, maybe you don't go play Prem. Maybe you're not on the biggest MLS team, but you're actually part of a professional team and the national team, and you came from the Canadian development area. Yeah. I think that is actually telling you that if he can do it, there's going to be more and more that do the same thing.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think, you know, with myself and obviously working with Stolle, you know, that was one of the things too, where we had so many young guys, and we wanted to help them, push them and get them to that next level. And it was difficult too, because you've got these young guys. For instance, if I'm in the UK or say even Major League Soccer right now, and I'm coaching players that have experience, have been around the block a little bit, my training method and the way I speak to the players is completely different than what it was in the CPL, because now I've got these young players where you're more or less going back to basics, right? Teaching them, you know, certain things about the game, how to open up, how to see the play, and how to read things. So you do tend to go back to the basics, but that's part of the development process. And, you know, we looked at, and we had Isaiah Johnson, who we ended up going to Nashville. Then we had Lowell Wright, who ended up going to Vancouver Whitecaps. Abzi ended up going over to France in the second division. We had Simon Adji. He ended up going to Holland. Emilio Estevez, we sold him to the Dutch Premier League. So we had a lot of these young guys. Yeah, we had a lot of these young guys that we developed and we helped push to the next level. But the other thing that I want to say, and I need to get this out there, and you hear it all the time, with these clubs, local clubs that are all, oh, I developed this player and I developed this player. No, you didn't develop this player. You helped this player along the way. That development starts with that house league coach at 5 years old that's there to help you play soccer and learn the game. And at every level along the way, there's coaches that help you to get to where you got to go. You're just a small piece of the puzzle trying to help an individual get to that next level. And I played a small role for some of these guys to get them to the next level. But there was coaches underneath me that helped them as well, right? So you can't take full credit of what you've done, but you can take a bit of credit for helping an individual along the way.
Is it too much of that in Canadian football, Jimmy? Too much of this self-aggrandizing?
Oh, you hear it all the time. These clubs, oh, we developed this player. We developed. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. A lot of these players come from other clubs and different coaches have helped along the way. And I look back at my career and yeah, I had some fantastic players at the pro level, but I remember, you know, Joe Schiraldi and Joe Randall, certain coaches along the way that helped me, right? Jimmy Greco, another coach that I had when I was younger, like they all played a significant role along the way and helped me in my development, but then they need credit as well.
I'm most proud when I hear someone like Dan Wong drop the Joel Waterman player.
You've developed me. Yeah. I mean, he also played for TSS Rovers. I forgot to mention them.
His football knowledge surprises me all the time.
Yeah. Like he has come on hasn't he?
Soccer expert.
Yes.
Yeah. It's true. I went for a walk the other day. Me and Wonger had a good chat for about 35 minutes. And some of the things he was saying to me just shocked me. I was like, who the fuck is this guy that I'm talking to right now? How does he know all this now about football?
Mm-hmm. Usually I talk about how long my dump is in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. You're maturing. Yeah.
Now he's talking about this player, that coach, this team. I'm like, what?
Well, I don't talk about them. I ask because you guys have such great insight. Like I still come at this as someone who's a neophyte and I need to know the answers. Craig and I we were talking about player profiles and Craig was telling me on the drive home yesterday about, you know, a coach who would rather just have someone with one skill and he can coach the rest. I forget which coach that was or manager, Craig.
Yeah, but, Arsene Wenger. Yeah.
Yeah. Arsene Wenger. And he goes, you know, if he has speed, I can teach him the rest. I can teach him technique. You get me a guy who has that athletic profile, I can work with him, which is interesting.
With you, Wonga, when you first started here, we knew you could talk.
That was all you needed.
This boy can talk.
Well, Stark actually said, I now know what Wonga's role is in, I think, our second or third year, and it was to fill. It said, well, there's dead air. Wonga's just there to fill. And I'm like, yes, that's my job.
It's a crutch to have. Doesn't Tassie say that too?
Yes, and I do a horrible job. I'm a human tangent. That's what I am.
We should mention, by the way, Cavalry, they lost to Caps, the White Caps, 2-1. They scored a goal late in that one, entering the second leg in a couple of weeks' time. You know, surprise, though, that not that many people outside of the soccer community know about these games and know about the Canadian Championship. It's hard to get it out there. The message, the clubs did the best. But I think we have to see a better job done as far as promoting these matches. You want to see live sports, they're available to you. But I know people that I know were like, who's playing? What? Who? When? Why? Got to work on that.
I find it fascinating, too, because I like to watch the smaller teams play against the MLS teams more than I would do if there was a final against two MLS teams. It's actually really, really great. I find it just fascinating and exciting and exactly what we need in this country, and it's growing all the time. So we should be more aware, I think, the soccer community in this country, about what's going on.
Well, no, no. And this is where I was mentioning it off air. Sorry, Jimmy, I'll let you jump in after. We are ensconced in the football community, and I'm not always sure what matches. And I, like Craig, I like watching this different tier, different levels playing against each other to see who has a shot. There's some real drama there. And I have to say, I wasn't always sure when the matches were. They're all kind of... I think there has to be just a better job at marketing and being proud of this tournament and really building it. Every opportunity is either an opportunity gained or opportunity lost. And I'm feeling like this is a bit of an opportunity lost with some of these matches being so tight. Back to Forge in Montreal, you know?
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think, you know, the other thing for us is because, you know, when you kind of grow up in England and you play in that system, and the FA Cup is so magical. It's the best cup for me to watch, because you get these underdogs playing against the big clubs and the upsets are phenomenal. And now we've got that where you're looking at these League One teams and CPL teams playing against MLS teams and, you know, some upsets, and it's exciting. It really is. And you can see, you know, just the matches, the intensity of it, and the celebrations after the matches when an underdog wins. It's amazing to see. And it just shows you what the sport is all about.
Well, for example, tonight on One Soccer on Fubo, you can catch Toronto at Saint Laurent. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Regardless of the result, that's brilliant. Atletico to come Pacific as well. Both those games, 7 p.m. Eastern kickoffs. Yeah.
So, by the way, you know what the best thing is too, Stacks, and you know this, is that when you're with a bigger club and you've got fantastic facilities and training facilities, a stadium, big crowds, and when you go into the lower league teams and you go into the dressing room, and the dressing room's maybe made for 10 people and you're cramming 18 in, and you get out and you don't have the luxuries that you normally have, and you're looking at each other going, yeah, Jesus Christ, let's just get a result and get out of here as quick as we can. And you're always got it in the back of your mind. You're like, we can't be that team that loses to the lower league. We cannot be that team that loses.
And were either of you on the FA Cup losing side where you're like, oh, this is not good? Were you like hanging your head in shame?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, who was it? Give us the worst hanging head in shame.
I think I can't remember, but we lost to a team that was two divisions lower than us, and we were.
Who was that with Jimmy?
It was a Forest at the time. We lost, and we had a good side, and the manager rested a few players as well, and a few older players played, because a lot of times when they're playing the weaker teams, they tend to give other players a shot, and I remember we ended up losing that game. But fortunately for us, we had a game like 4 days later back in the league, and we ended up winning that. So everybody forgot about the cup match. But remember the manager losing his mind.
Gregor, what about you? Did you have that, oh, God, that's an embarrassment, I can't.
Well, yeah, we have lost to lower division teams. West Ham lost to Reading, who were at that time at least a division below, maybe two at the time. And then we had a really close call with West Ham. We had a team called Emily. I think they were like in the sixth or seventh tier. And we had them at home at Upton Park. And the weather was terrible. And it was just blowing and windy and raining. And they scored. They made it 1-1. And I think DeCanio scored in the last 3 or 4 minutes or something to win 2-1. Thank God for that. Because like Jimmy said, we would have had to gone back to Emily didn't even know where it was. It was in the Midlands somewhere. and played on some cow patch, which, you know, we didn't want to do. So luckily we got away with that. But that was a close call, being one of the biggest upsets of all time.
It's so true. Because, you know, when you're playing at a certain level and tactically you know their movements, what they're going to do. And then when you start playing the lower divisions, they start off with their tactics and then they start doing all this unorthodox shit that you've never seen before. And you're going, what is going on here? We can't figure this out.
True.
Did your supporters boo you? Did they know you were laying an egg out there, Craig?
Oh, yeah.
And was there like negative response from them? Were they booing and calling you guys wankers?
Well, it wasn't great, but when we ended up winning the game, just they're okay with that, I guess. But
yeah, as long as they win. But if you lose, they're yelling at you, we paid for this shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
We traveled for this.
Yeah. Harry, I remember I was on the bench one day and Harry had the whole stack of season tickets. The guy threw his whole stack of season tickets at Harry. And they hit Harry in the back of the head. And Harry turns around and he looks down and he picks him up and he realizes it's the guy's whole stack of season tickets. He's like, oh, you're a stupid twat, aren't you?
Because Harry's definitely setting those, knowing Harry, right? He's pocketing them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Straight in the back pocket.
Oh, yeah, there was nothing held back. Harry used to get involved, and at Upton Park, the fans are right there, and he's calling everybody a twat. And
was there ever a manager made for a certain club more so than Harry Redknapp in West Ham? He's like the perfect coach, isn't he?
Probably not. Yeah, he was East End through and through.
Can you imagine, though, the passion to have your deck of fucking season tickets and just get so frustrated with the club to toss them up and try and hit the manager?
Thing is, why did he have all the tickets with him at the match?
I know. Weird, eh? Yeah.
But the best would be if West Ham went on a little run, they start playing well, and he's like, fuck, I can't go to the match.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Moyes is out, by the way, officially out West Ham. Julian Lopetegui looks like coming in next.
Not a surprise, right?
No, not really a surprise, right, Craig? Disappointing, perhaps, but not a surprise.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing with Moyes was that he was actually offered a contract earlier in the season, maybe halfway through the season, and he turned it down. Then he went on a long streak of losing and not picking up results. And then he's like, well, maybe I'll sign it. And they're like, well, maybe we'll hold off now.
Why did he not sign it then, do you think? Was he not sure about whether he wants to continue at that point?
No idea. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He'll be picked up by someone, though. If there's a team, I mean, Sunderland fans won't agree with this, but, you know, if there's a team, a decent-sized team that wants to survive for a couple of years, David Moyes is a good manager to have. He's a good coach, right? Really good manager. Yeah.
I mean, the guy finished in Europe 3 years. Like,
right?
We're in the top 10. Where do you really think West Ham are going to finish? Because they, you know, when you're a team like them and you're selling off your the best midfielder in the country with Declan Rice, you can't hold on to him. You're basically throwing away any chance of finishing in the top four. So your Champions League, not a chance. You finish in the top 10, maybe get seventh, maybe get a European conference spot. That's about the max they can do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just looking there. In 2020 and 2021 season, they finished seventh. And then in 2021, 2022, they finished seventh. Like, what more do you want from them?
Yeah. That's incredible. Oh, really.
And then in 2021, they finished sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth in the Premier League.
So they want them to play a more attractive style of football, but that can also play yourself right out of the division too. You have to be careful what you wish for sometimes. But.
Yeah.
I don't think where he'd be a fit. I mean, what availabilities will there be coaching-wise this summer? So, obviously, the top teams are fine. I mean, Chelsea, possibly, but he's not going there. Newcastle, I guess, is an option as far as losing Eddie Howe. I doubt they'll do that, and he's not an option there.
No.
Bournemouth are looking great. Brighton, if they lose to Zerbi, which is possible, there. But, I mean, there's no way that the Brighton fans would accept, I think, with respect, David Moyes' brand of football, given what they've seen with De Zerbi and Potter before him. Fulham.
Maybe Preston, North End.
Maybe, yeah, go back where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yeah, what is he now? He's in his mid-60s, isn't he? David Moyes?
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
He must be in his mid-60s, yeah. So I don't see where the fit is in the Prem, really. But there's always a vacancy, so.
I wonder if he would ever go back to Everton.
Well, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I just saw that Everton, and obviously Dyche has done a great job there, but
yeah.
Is it worn on Sean Dyche? Does he want out, I wonder?
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't think so, eh?
I don't think he's that type of guy.
He's fought through this season. He's been successful in that. He survived. Give me a clean slate. With those, no point deductions.
The points deduction and all that and trying to
but
deal
the ownership,
with that.
Craig, but the ownership's a disaster there right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Shit, man.
They brought in insolvency lawyers to look at the situation, whatever that means. It's not good.
No. Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be a weight. But again, does David Moyes want to be part of that? He'd be welcomed back, wouldn't he? I would think by the Evertonian fans. I mean, they were aggrieved he went to United, but most of them probably understood. It was
are you gonna? Are you telling Sean Dyche something right now, Sherbs?
I'm just saying, Sean Dyche's shoes. I mean, if he's got no budget this summer, which is possible,
yeah.
Does he want to be part of that again? I mean, Sean Dyche, you would think has done enough to convince someone, but again, who? Where are the openings here? Especially given the way he, the type of football he coaches, too. It's kind of a David Moyes, right? A bit old fashioned.
Yeah, exactly.
CPL. Got to be CPL.
Canada's national team.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
By the way, you want to boost the Canada Canadian Championship, maybe rebrand it Canada Soccer Cup, the CS Cup, right? FA Cup works. Got cup matches tonight, big cup night. I like the way it sounds. You can't call it a cup when it's a championship, can you? But it is a cup.
It is a cup. Yeah, it's a trophy at the end, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
Jimmy won it. Jimmy, what do you get at the end other than a new pair of socks?
You get a medal. I actually want
to. The team gets
the
what?
Voyager's Cup, right?
The Voyager's Cup. You get the trophy, and then you get a medal as well. I got four of them. One as a player, one as assistant coach. No, two as assistant coach, and then one as assistant GM.
It's a great trophy, the Voyager's Cup. By the way, it's a legitimate proper sports trophy. It's a cup. So maybe we just start calling this thing the Cup, and organically it'll become seen as a more proper, authentic football tournament, and we'll get more exposure for it.
I like it. It's a nice looking cup. I just Googled it, and look, we have the Stanley Cup, we have the Grey Cup, we have the FA Cup. These are all, I think you're right, Charms, a rebranding into a elevated marketing and promotion plan too.
And well, you know, this Canadian soccer culture really loves the term Canada Soccer. They're big fans. Right. Got a great reputation. So they jump all aboard. Oh yeah, Canada Soccer, let's celebrate that cup.
Well, maybe their website the tournament website might break down and they won't know where the games are. Hey,
with the new leadership, new faces, new ideas, it could be the beginning of something new. So let's start by rebranding the Canadian Championship into the Canada Soccer Cup.
Done. It should be the CCCC.
Which is
Canadian Coast to Coast Cup. The 4C Cup.
4C. 4 C's.
Yeah. Coca-Cola and Canadian Club.
That's not bad either.
By the way, Steve Bull, back to Steve Bull. He's make you feel old, fellas. He's 59 now, which isn't surprising given when he played, but it still makes me feel really, really old. For Wolves, he played 474 games, 250 goals. So more than a goal every other game for Wolves. What a player he was. What a finisher. And he had 13 caps, Craig, for England. 13, four goals.
Hmm.
Well, speaking of old strikers, did you hear about Ian Dowie? Had a heart attack. Oh, had a heart attack, yeah, doing a spin class.
Jesus.
No. Yeah, he's okay now, yeah.
Is he okay? Good. Yeah.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Downer.
Did he coach you, Jimmy? Did he coach you? Did he coach you somewhere, Ian Dowie?
Or no.
Your teammate?
I played against him when it's coming towards the end of his career. Absolute right. Monster of a man.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh. Hammer House to Horrors.
Oh. I'm telling you, it would scare the shit out of you if you looked at him. You wouldn't want to see him in a back alley.
No. He was a good lad, though. It was fun at West Ham with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? He was there with West Ham?
Yep. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ian Dowie. So he coached Palace for a long time, didn't he? Well, yeah. I'm not sure for a long time, but where did he coach? He coached, Palace for 3 years. Hull, most recently, 2010. QPR, Charlton, Coventry, Oldham, and QPR earlier in his career as well. Yeah. So, West Ham, 68 appearances, 8 goals. Yeah, he cut a certain profile, didn't he?
Yeah, good lad.
Old school. So, you know what I take away from that? Don't ever do a spin class.
If you didn't know already.
Stay well away from it.
Stay well away. You're going to get hemorrhoids and heart attacks.
Yeah.
Champions.
Sore ass.
Yeah, you always get a sore ass. Have you done a spin class? I've done a spin class before.
Yeah.
Anyone done a spin class?
Yeah, I have. My ass was killing me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're not really supposed to be in the seat, though, are you? It's supposed to be just above the seat for much of it. So your ass hurts regardless, but your hammies just scream. Yeah, the missus made me go years ago. Said, we won't be doing that again.
Yeah.
Champions League, the other one. Dortmund. They beat PSG. PSG fail again.
Again.
So Dortmund, do you see the celebrations? So all these guys that were just on these redemption trails from Jadon Sancho to Matt Hummels. These guys that are kind of just dismissed. There's a great story in ESPN about it. The guys that are just dismissed by other clubs, not good enough, too old, whatever the reason is. And they've come together and then they've thrown their team on their shoulders. And in the Champions League final, I'd love to see them beat whoever it is, Bayern or Real Madrid, because they've come close before, but never quite that close.
What does it say about Bundesliga if it is Bayern and Dortmund?
Best do they in the get? World?
That's what I'm asking. Does that what it means? Do people claim that? Or is there
if there's two English teams in there, they'll say that.
Yeah,
and if there's two Spanish teams, they'll definitely say that.
Yeah.
So why can't we say there's two German teams?
Because they're Germans, and the lower end of the table isn't as strong. That's why.
Maybe. Not quite as much arrogance.
The Leverkusen story as well. I mean, unbeaten still.
Yeah. They could win the Europa League.
It's the year for the Bundesliga for sure.
Best league in the world.
Best league in the world.
Yeah. I tell you what, from an actual spectacle point of view, I think it is the best league in the world. The fan actual interaction and then the support and what do you see, the visuals in that league and the crowd?
Oh,
second to none, isn't it?
I think you're right, actually. And that the fans all feel so ingrained. They've got skin in the game, right?
Yeah.
Because of the ownership structure of the clubs.
Yeah. Perhaps, in Brazil, Argentina, some of those atmospheres down there and the engagement with the fans, maybe. But as a top five league in the world, I think the Bundesliga looks the best.
Wow. It's still affordable as well, tickets. But I believe I saw a story, this is years ago now, probably 5-6 years ago, about the Arsenal fans who, when they moved to the new stadium, they couldn't believe the price of season tickets. So they became Dortmund fans. And it was cheaper for them to jet over to Germany on the weekend, get a hotel for a night.
Take the train.
Get tickets.
Then
go to Arsenal for the week for a season ticket.
That's wicked. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
ownership structure is different than most leagues. And
50 plus. Really good.
They have the same kind of thing. When Toronto Raptors were killing it up here in 5 years ago now, you could drive down to Detroit, get a ticket for $20. You could even fly to New Orleans, and it would be cheaper than a Raptors ticket, a flight to New Orleans, and to go see the Raptors play down there. So it's just interesting how
crazy,
people,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's like leave fans going to Buffalo. I've done that before.
Yes.
Oh, you have? A fraction of the price.
Yeah.
It's great fun. It's like home game. They're all Leaf fans down there, right? Good atmosphere, and it costs you a fraction. Now you're in Buffalo.
Sorry, better atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, going back, loves Buffalo.
Going back to Forrest, when he's talking about the Bundesliga and, you know, how good the clubs are and structure, Pacific just signed a partnership with VfL Bochum from the Bundesliga.
Bochum.
Yeah, so it's an exclusive partnership that they've got right now, and it's going to look at all aspects of the clubs, you know, from the business side to the operations, and for player transfers, player and coach development, youth programming. So they've got a.
Is this like the Atletico Ottawa, the Ottawa Atletico kind of scenario? Same kind of setup.
Quite similar, but
okay.
I think with Atletico, they own Ottawa, where these two just got a. A partnership.
Right.
That's interesting. You know, we should get Josh Simpson on the show and also Paul Byrne as well.
Yeah.
CFC lore and CPL lore, we should say, in fairness. He's one of the, well, I think it wasn't Paul the first commissioner, the year one, I think. Because it really is fascinating what they're doing there. That's a great, smart partnership.
Yeah.
With a team like, and it shows that other teams, and we hear this more and more, right, Jimmy, that other teams around the world are getting a bit of an interest in the CPL.
Yeah.
And being involved. It really is a hotbed of talent here, which is untapped, really.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, Charm. So I think that's a reason why you're seeing it. And if they think there's a potential to pick up a player every 5 or 10 years that is worth some value, it's worth getting involved with if you can have a fairly decent catchment area and develop some players.
I think York will end up having a partnership as well with a Mexican club.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening.
And the new Quebec-based team have a partnership with the Qatari-based side.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that rumor last week. money. Who cares where it comes from? Seriously, take it. This game needs money in this country. Just back to the Champions League. So PSG, their little project fails once again. Not quite as arrogant this year as previous years, but still, you know, not too many tears are shed. I don't think about that, but I do like Kylian Mbappe's his comments. He says, "We have to score in both legs. I don't like to talk about bad luck. When you're good, the ball doesn't hit the post; it goes in. And I'm the guy who has to score the goals. When I score, I take all the light. When I don't, I have to take all the shadow. Ooh. I have no problem with that. We still have a Coupe de France final to play. The season is not over. He's taking accountability. And just hearing him, and then I heard the." Sorry to throw the Leafs into this, but the Leafs end of season press conferences, the locker clean out, and the zero accountability. Just, this is refreshing. And Mbappe is a polarizing figure. I understand that, but he usually owns it, right? And he'll be off to Real Madrid this summer. I get that, maybe, possibly. But I just like it when
I didn't expect that from him. I really didn't expect that from him. Yeah.
He's pretty good with the media that way.
That's mature, though. It's a maturing, right? And that's always nice to see in an athlete. Always.
Yeah. Do you see his eye roll? Someone asked one of the reporters, and this is when you get Canadian-based media, you know, being criticized for being too harsh. We are not harsh, right? But someone asked Mbappe, are you going to be cheering for Real Madrid now in the final? Because he's going there. And he looked at the reporter and just did this massive eye roll and then just walked off. It was great. It's kind of eye roll that a 13-year-old daughter gives her dad on a daily basis. You know, it was like bang on.
Yeah, I'm used to those with a 15 and 17-year-old daughter.
You get them too, my wife too. Actually, no, man. Most women I know actually.
My girlfriend too. Let's be honest. Every woman that I know actually gives me eye roll.
Yeah. Is not a strange thing for us to experience. Dubs most shows.
Oh my god,
gives us an eye roll or 10.
Who hasn't had the eye roll? That's what I'm.
Oh, yeah.
If you say you haven't, you're lying. But you can't give the eye roll. Do you find that? If I give the eye roll, it is like saying the worst thing possible.
I have to say, it's not even really in my arsenal of, you know, emotional responses. The eye roll isn't part of mine. Mine is more the, huh? I have a mouth, kind of open mouth going, are you serious? So you're fucked.
What?
Like, yeah.
Is that it? Is that the equivalent, like the eye roll?
Yeah.
And the,
what? Yeah. Yeah. I think it is for guys. Yeah.
Or a shake of a head. Just what the fuck?
Yeah. You're like, you're an idiot. You have.
So I use that a lot. Oh,
Jimmy. Yeah. I wouldn't want Jimmy's shake of the head. He's like putting his, he's basically giving you the hand up, walking away, you know?
Yeah. We got that from Jimmy yesterday, but we won't go into that.
You guys are so stupid. Honestly, read what I wrote there. Look.
Where?
I hate my friends.
I hate my friends.
Well, the last laugh's on you. We're not your friends.
Not anymore. I ended that yesterday.
Yeah, you did. You did. Hey, shall we talk about the event, Wonga? A little bit more.
We should, but just before that, Danny Diccio, round of eight in the U.S. Open Cup. 5-1-1 in USL Championship. Our friend Darren in Ottawa just said, hey, guys, did you see Deech? Deech went to they just beat what team here?
Houston.
Thank you. Yeah. Defending champs Houston, Detroit City is now 2-1 all time against clubs from Major League Soccer. So we were talking about, you know, the CCCC Cup or whatever we're calling it. But this is the U.S. Open Cup. It's the same approach and it's excellent.
Well,
and
I mean, they're trying to fuck it over right now.
They are but right now it's still excellent. Yeah. And it's growth. It's so important to domestic football and the growth and development in Canada. And we should be cheering it on, promoting it. And, you know, we're seeing US Open come back alive and a lot of pushback from everyone who said you're trying to ruin it. From the MLS to the MLS owners, who are basically the guys who are trying to ruin it.
Yeah.
So there has been pushback.
And our boy Deech has the cup magic.
He does.
In his hands, right? Because with Sacramento, they did great as well.
Yeah.
When he was assistant coach there, now as head coach at Detroit. It'd be love to get his opinions on it all, wouldn't it? It
would be great to have him on the show one time again.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Danny, who we all love. We want to get him on the show again. I sent him a lovely note yesterday. Still hasn't got back to me. So, good luck for getting him on the show. Keep looking at my phone, but no, still not going. Nothing from the big man.
When Deech left Canada, I think he just left everything behind. Like there's still like a house full of furniture and all his friendships and relationships just left up here.
Yeah.
Including some of his family too. Yeah. Some of the family's still up here, right? I mean, have they heard from Deech?
Yeah, no kidding.
Deech's sons. I mean, hey, have you heard from Dad?
In the last 2 years. He would have grabbed his dog in his one bag and left.
His three-legged dog.
Yeah. His three-legged dog, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think he brought his wife and his daughter with him.
Yeah,
he did.
I think, yeah. But
no,
any Diccios out there, any Diccios listening to this out there, who missed Dad and are asking the same questions, you can jump on and we can rail against your dad on this show.
We could do a reunion with his family.
Yeah, but
we'll put it on our platform.
No, an intervention. We'll get him on eventually and then surprise him with all these people he's just left behind. And do you remember this person? They've been texting you all year. Not one response. We're kidding, Deech. We love you. You're a busy man and doing extremely well at Detroit. So we are Detroit FC fans here on Footy Prime, simply because of you. Yeah, to the event. Well, no, let's get some more details.
Well, June 6th at Distillery Nickel 9 on Cawthra Street, and that's in the Junction in Toronto, we'll be having our inaugural Footy Prime Ask Me Anything podcast in person. So we'll be selling tickets. We're going to be setting up. People, please feel free to tell us what you'd want to. I think Sharm said we're going to have some food there with some pies, some mini pies.
Yeah, something.
We'll also be launching, and I'll let JC talk about any of that if he wants to. He's just put up two hands.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we're not launching anything.
You'll just have to to find out.
But we'd love you to, we're going to be sharing either our Eventbrite or one of those ticket management sites to buy tickets. It's going to be $20, I think.
Be on weareforityprime.com soon. We'll let you know
that's right.
The link.
Really soon. And what else? I wasn't at yesterday's meeting, but
well, essentially, you know, listen, we may or may not be launching something, but it's definitely at a distillery where they make things like gin and vodka and beer at some point. Just saying, yeah. you can join the dots if you like. But nothing official to announce there, but it's going to be a fun night, June the 6th.
That's right. And it's also following Canada's men's national team playing, I think, the Netherlands, where Jimmy afternoon. Is calling in the afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock start. So we'll probably have an early start. Watch that match.
Oh, yeah. Well, we will. Yeah,
we will.
Watching the match, yeah.
That's right.
And then Jimmy's driving, though, a bus from Mississauga from One Soccer. And right. If you want to jump on Jimmy's bus, let us know.
People up along the way.
That's right. And so it'll be from 7 until 10 o'clock at night. And you'll get to take photos with us, meet us. It'll be a full live event. Come down. We're going to be talking about it more.
Live podcast. Yeah. All sorts of fun things in there. Well, hearing from you, the listeners, of course, with Q&As. And who knows, maybe we'll do a Flaccid 4 or something. Maybe get some guests. We'll see. Yeah. We're still working on that. But June the 6th, mark it in your calendars. Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto.
Absolutely.
And we might record it as a podcast too. Probably will.
Yeah.
Drop it at some point. But we'll let you know how you get tickets very shortly. We're excited about this. What could go wrong with us organizing it? Thankfully, we've got a professional doing it for
us. Thank God.
Oh, you guys really sold it. You nailed it. They'd be coming in droves.
There's so much more we want to say. Well, how would you sell it, Jimmy? How would you sell it?
The excitement.
Hey, I wanted to...
we don't. Okay. Please come.
That's what we should have these meetings before the actual podcast. What can we and can we not say?
Yeah, I didn't know. Hey, I wanted to hit one of our Wongers mail sack on our YouTube channel at Greg Lawrence 9230. And this is going to our conversation about... You know, the Canadian search for a new men's head gaffer, men's manager. I can't say gaffer.
Head coach, just a head coach.
Head coach. So Greg says, soccer first is an impossibility. Which part of soccer comes first and for whom? Does it mean putting the business viability first or putting the creation of playing opportunities first, even if they weaken the business objectives? Both sides are obviously legitimate and ultimately matter for everyone involved. But who decides at any given point which prioritization equates putting soccer first? It's literally meaningless. I thought that was a great comment.
Well, we'll have to ask Peter.
Yeah, exactly. What does it mean, Peter? You explain to us. I think in the broad strokes, soccer first is what's going to benefit the sport in this country. And that could come from various angles, right? Just let's move away the egos and the personal agendas from the equation. That's what
I think. But the people who are always saying soccer first, and I think this is what I'm taking from Greg's comment, is that it's always administrators saying, oh, it's about what's on the field. It's the executive saying what's on the field. Mm-hmm. He's saying that's bullshit, and I think I agree with him. There's 1,000 different priorities every single day. Whether it's a business one, whether it's a player development one, whether it's – you can't just say, oh, it's about this. And I think that that's the pushback, is that most of the executives have always said, oh, it's what's important for the game of the what's on the field. And it's not always. Sometimes it can't be, and I think that's his point.
Yeah, it's a good comment. I like it.
All right, good. We'll get into it in further weeks from now with the main players in Canadian soccer circles. All right, FuboTV.com, as mentioned there, that's how you catch your Canadian championship, soon to be rebranded as the CS Cup.
It doesn't slide off your tongue, does it?
CS Cup, Canada Soccer Cup, CS Cup, CSA Cup, the Cup, the Maple Leaf Cup, the Voyagers Cup. Call the whole thing the Voyagers Cup. I'm down with that.
Voyagers Cup. Canada's Voyagers Cup.
They play for that in the final.
The CBC. It's called
the whole thing. Yeah. All right. That's on FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Subscribe if you haven't. Of course, the Prem is wrapping up all the matches on there as well, as is CPL. Okay, that's about it. We are back. We've got a lot of MLS to record.
Tons tomorrow. Of MLS, yeah.
We're going to have Vancouver later today. Because of the Canada Cup. Canada Cup. Fucking hell. Because of that, we have to push off the TFC till tomorrow and Montreal. course, as well.
Drama in Montreal.
Tons of drama in Montreal. We didn't get into it, but we will, of course, with Dubs. And on three questions, she'll delve deeper. And
you hire Dubs, and well. Drama follows, right?
That's what happens. We are Exhibit A in the polyurethane bag. All right, so that's it. It's been Footy Prime. We'll chat to you next time. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Nice show, guys.
That was a good show. I like that.
That was a good one today.
Yeah, it was. Got some good stuff there. Who needs... Are we like late guest cancellations are good.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.